Job 19, Engraved Hope on the Ash Heap. First, the wreckage. Job catalogues a social death. Brothers gone, kin estranged, servants ignoring him, children mocking him, his wife recoiling. I am nothing but skin and bones. I have escaped only by the skin of my teeth. Literally the gums, the last living margin. In an honour-shame culture, the collapse of kinship is the world ending. Where a Goel, kinsman redeemer, should act with covenant loyalty, Job finds only absence. Then the surprising request, "Oh, that my words were recorded, inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in a rock forever." Job 19:23-24, New International Version. In the ancient Near East, both lead tablets and letters filled with lead in carved stone were ways to make words endure. God grants more than Job asks. These lament lines are now scripture, etched not in limestone alone, but across the ages of the church's hearing. The irony is holy. But Job asks for more than an inscription. He asks for a person. "I know that my Redeemer, Goel, lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth." Job 19:25, New International Version. Goel is a family word, the relative who buys back land, Leviticus 25, avenges blood, Numbers 35, and raises the fallen name, Ruth 4. When human kin fail, God declares himself Israel's Goel, Isaiah 41:14-44.6. Job, an Eastern sage outside Israel, reaches for that same miracle, God as kin. The Hebrew is charged. Acharon, the last, will stand Al-Afar, on the dust, perhaps Job's grave mound. The Redeemer claims the last word where dust speaks loudest. "And after my skin has been destroyed, yet from my flesh I will see God," Vayikra 26. The preposition can mean in or from my flesh. Either way, Job expects a personal, embodied vindication, not an idea, but a face. "I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another." Vayikra 27, New International Version. Literally, "not a stranger," Lozar. The fathers heard resurrection here, Irenaeus, Tertullian, Augustine. Calvin, more cautious, still found a promise reaching beyond present shadows. The whole canon completes the contour. The Redeemer lives indeed, and he is the last, Revelation 1:17-18. Note the literary turn. From an ash heap lawsuit, JHS 16-18, to a witness inscribed, and a kinsman standing. In yesterday's reflection, we warned against weaponized doctrine. Job ends this chapter by warning the friends, "Fear the sword." V 29. "The sword is not for sufferers, but for proud certainty. The judge will vindicate the wronged." Christ gathers it all. He becomes our brother. Hebrews 2:11-18. Stands upon the dust at tombs. John 11. And writes not on stone, but in his own scarred flesh, the verdict of mercy. John 20:27. The Redeemer lives and stands. Practice. Become kin to the suffering. Give hesed where family and systems fail. Let your inscriptions be durable acts of presence, fewer words, truer loyalties. Keep Easter near in the long Lent of pain. Cross-references, Leviticus 25, Numbers 35, Ruth 304, Isaiah 41:14-44.6, Jeremiah 17:1, John 11:25, Hannah 44, Hebrews 2:11-18, 1 Corinthians 15:20-26, Revelation 1:17-18. Hymn for meditation, "I know that my Redeemer lives," Samuel Medley. Also, "Before the Throne of God Above." Prayer, "Living Redeemer, last and faithful, stand upon our dust. Inscribe hope where our names feel erased. Make us kin to the forsaken, witnesses who do not wound. Let our eyes, in time and in truth, see your face, and not a stranger." Amen.